welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe, the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps.
All right.
Oh, man, we made it just in time.
Made in time.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was getting to the chair in time.
All right, look, got it done. Good weekend of fights.
Good weekend of fights. Good weekends of fights. Good training. And a fun barbecue. I failed to channel my inner Ben Askren. The funk was not with me on this one, trying to crush the watermelon. I think it defeated like 12 of us.
Oh, yeah, no. That thing was like Mjolnir. We couldn't get it done. I'm saying that wasn't a regulation size watermelon. Because that thing was impossible. Like, that thing had battle scars on it.
I think it needed to be like ripe. I'm saying Weidman cheated. I'm saying
100%.
Ben Askren cheated. I'm saying all these guys are cheating.
Askren did too, though. So that's the
but
issue.
They were ripe. They were ripe.
They were ripe.
You know, it's like a kiwi. If you squeeze the kiwi and it's hard, you can't cut it.
Yeah.
But you can, but it's just not going to be good.
Yeah.
But if it's ripe and nice and soft, then you could just crush that thing with your bare hands. I'm saying it's the same thing for the watermelon.
You're right. I'm saying we got to get a regulation size watermelon and then try it again.
Yeah, so that one didn't count. That was just a test, a warm-up. You know, my biceps, I had to bend the knee. no sayudo. But it didn't work. I thought I was going to... I honestly was going to crush that thing and just be like, yeah!
No, I thought I was the chosen one. I was like, I'm the guy for this.
The chosen one.
Yeah, you know. Tyron Woodley.
I think we're going a little too far.
Look, everyone had failed. I thought I had a little juice out of it, but no, nothing.
You sure you got some juice out of it?
I got juice out of it. Don't you worry. All right, we got to talk about the fights.
What's wrong with your arms?
Oh, I'm so freaking sore right now. Please, just go on with the...
I thought that was the watermelon, the bicep.
Oh,
crush.
No, I will say that I did everything I could to get that watermelon. Like, I couldn't... I'm saying that was the most effort I've put into anything in a long time.
But couldn't your efforts it. Weren't enough.
I think you... did you try twice?
I tried once.
Okay. Right.
The second time, you know, I didn't want to give a second time.
No, you did. Okay.
I just went for the firecracker.
Interesting.
You know?
Interesting.
And so that was actually fun. The firecracker set that thing... I thought it was like a gunshot, man.
That
thing was loud. What was that, like an M80?
I don't know, but... Nino, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Nino. That was a good time. The fifth annual barbecue in Cinema Riches. I did not even know that was the fifth one. I thought it was the first time he ever did it. It was last year. But it was fun, man. Wrestling in the water. Marab taking on all challengers.
Everyone.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
We probably murdered everybody. Between Marab and I think we murdered just about the entire backyard.
Well, I will say Marab murdered Eddie at least four times when I saw it.
Samurai, like, drown him. You're dying. You are dying right now. I'm like, yo, Samurai, it's a little aggressive.
It was a good time.
It was fun, though. We had fun. We missed a lot of the fights, but I did get to go back this morning and watch back some of the fights and last night. And I was studying some tape on Weidman's guy, too, Omari Akhmedov, that he's fighting, just taking video. What I like to do is whenever I'm studying film for one of the guys, I watch the video, I take the clips, and I send them over to the guys with some voiceover. I pause it, whatever I could pause it, and then I go back and highlight the parts I'm talking about just to kind of point out what I'm talking about. And I kind of point to the screen and like... give directions on what I think could work for their skill set or what I would do for my point of view, what I think might be potentially available and just that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the work is just about done. He's fighting August 8th against a very tough Omari Akhmedov, coming off a 3-fight win streak right now and a win over Ian Heinsius, who's on a pretty good run himself right now. I think he's on
quality win.
Yeah, I think he just won two in a row.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I know he just fought recently. He was trying to fight again, but yeah, so... doing that last night, and then I fell asleep and got to finish watching the rest of the fights this morning.
All right.
Did you catch up?
Some of them. Some of them I missed.
Ah, man.
What do you want me to do?
This guy's a fan?
I got to live my life.
Or is he a stan?
What? I think that's...
he doesn't even have a plan.
Oh, my God.
But I got the master come through with the disaster, and you can't divide me. That's no factor.
That wasn't that bad.
That wasn't that bad. I'm just saying. I spit that right off the top of
the dome. Actually pretty decent. All right. What? All right. So go with the fight.
Let's start with the main event. All right. Because this perfect. Is, Robert Whitaker versus Darren Till. Good fight. I was obviously drinking, probably drunk.
That's fair. Not
drunk, but I wasn't sober. I wasn't sober. I was in between the land of no return, but I returned. I didn't let them take me.
No, you fought it.
Yeah, I fought it. Did not let them take me. I got to watch the entire five rounds. First round, I thought Darren Till.
Yeah, definitely.
Second round, Robert Whitaker came back in a huge way.
Yeah, it could have been 10-8 in that second round. I mean, he dominated that. Took him once he got him to the ground, he's controlling him really well too. So
yeah.
I thought pretty definitively Whitaker won after the five rounds. Yes,
he definitely won the fight.
Yeah,
and I think you could make an argument that it was definite that it could have been 2-2 going into the fifth round.
Yeah, no, you could make that argument.
Or it could have been 3-1.
Yeah.
Going into that fifth round for Whitaker.
No, I agree.
And I decided to just tweet draw, and I just got attacked.
Oh yeah.
But I knew this was gonna happen, so I just wanted to see the amount of outrage I can incite from the fans. And there was a British guy. Verified guy. I don't know who he was, but he messaged me. He goes, Aljo, you're drunk? Question mark. I was like, or you're drunk, mate? Or something like that. And I was like, yeah. A little bit.
No, said, I mean, look, I
thought so.
I could see the argument for some of those rounds, but I thought, I'm also a Whitaker fan, yeah, pretty big. So I didn't think.
Dude, that stepping elbow.
Holy crap. No, that was gorgeous that first round, though.
Wow.
I mean, look, both of them look pretty tentative, to be honest. But, I mean, look, they...
Can you stop massaging your arm?
I'm in such pain right now. Uncomfortable.
No. Let's get the mic a little bit.
Jesus, man. Yeah, come on.
Right there.
I look good, though, right? All right. So, I know...
Got a little tan. It's okay.
Thank you.
Almost there.
I'm working on it. No, Whitaker needed that win. I mean, especially coming off his last fight.
Yeah.
I thought Till... It was a huge fight for Till. I think he got a lot of respect regardless, even in the loss. You know, going five hard rounds with the former champ. I thought Till looked really good, to be honest. I thought he looked better than his last fight where he beat Kelvin in that kind of lackluster decision.
Oh, that was brutal to watch.
You were there live for that, right?
Yeah, I was there live for that. My thing was, the only reason why I'm saying it was brutal, it was tactical. You feel the suspense throughout the entire 15 minutes, but when nothing happens,
then it's
like...
Tough.
When someone draws out a gun on you and you just think something's going to happen and you're just like waiting for it. And you're just like...
Nothing.
And they just walk away.
Yeah.
That's what I felt.
Look, how old is Till? 24, 25?
He's still young, dude. He's still in his 20s. Late 20s.
Yeah. So, I still think he's got plenty of time to develop. And again, that was a pretty competitive fight for the most part. So...
Former champion.
Yeah, former champion. Whitaker, coming off that loss, man, he really needed this win bad. So I can understand why he was a little more tentative, too, especially even just getting dropped in that first round. But, again, respect to him mixing it up from the wrestling to the strikes. I thought that was awesome.
It's chain wrestling, right? Especially fifth round, man. The way he started turning it on. I was like, okay, Whitaker out here wrestling.
I mean, even just seeing that game plan, I would have loved to see him try to employ that against Adesanya instead of just going, balls to the wall striking with him the whole time. But they are different fighters, but still, I think... seeing Whitaker mix it up was really awesome.
What I liked was how many times they were giving each other haircuts with the head kicks, and everyone just wanted to go to the Matrix after watching
The guy last.
Faziev?
Yeah.
Faziev?
Faziev? Whatever.
Faziev.
We're trying, man.
Faziev. After watching him, I'm not saying that's where they got it from, but it's like when you see something or someone kicks you, then it's like, oh yeah, now I'm going to return the kick because you kicked me, or you threw a jab, now I'm going to jab you back.
There was that one sequence where they went almost back and forth with it. That was really fun.
And then it was just like, I think Whitaker skimmed Darren Till's hand. Just got out of the way.
Yeah, one of them was very close. Yeah, very close. I thought it was a good fight. Again, it wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was still a good fight.
It was pretty exciting.
That was fun.
I don't think, when people think exciting, we've been spoiled with some of these brawls where we're just like, yo, this is how fights should be all the time. But realistically, it's like, no, you can't fight like that all the time. You just can't.
No,
it's not sustainable for a longevity for your career. So I get that from that standpoint. But for me, it was still tactical, and then both guys were taking their time, and then Whitaker with the knee stomps.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Right out of Yoel Romero's book.
Yeah.
And at the press conference, they asked him about it, and it was like, did you know you blew out his knees? And he kind of just chuckled about it, like, oh.
I gotta do that more often.
Yeah, damn.
Brilliant.
But yeah, man, good fight, competitive, back and forth. I thought Till did some really good stuff. That left hand, that left kick seemed like it couldn't miss. Whitaker was coming out really well. He does this thing where he level changes and comes with that looping left hook. Now, I don't want to say looping like out wide, but it comes at an awkward angle where it's not a traditional. Yeah, it's just not like I'm standing up at one, three. He's level changing, so he's hitting the jab and he's level changing and he's coming back with that hook. But it's not a straight hook. It's coming at a at an angle, almost like an overhand from the lead hand side.
I just think for MMA, it's perfect because you have to worry about those takedowns. So that hand does kind of drop down a little bit with those little gloves. So I love when Whitaker uses that. And when he was using that to move forward, he did land quite a few times with it. But it was, you know, again, after getting dropped that first round, I do see why he was a little tentative to.
You have to.
Yeah.
If you get dropped like that with an elbow and you're running back in, I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah, of course.
You're just crazy. You're just like, I just want to get out of here at this point. Because you're just putting all on the line. That's like in poker, I'm all in. Whatever happens, I'm out.
Yeah.
Or I win.
He used it sparingly, so it was effective, I thought, when he used it. So it's good for him to get that win. It sucks because like all the matchups I can think of for him are freaking tough, man. Like, what are they going to give him, Cannonier or Hermanson? Like, those are tough guys.
And he's not big.
No.
He's small. He looked smaller than Darren Till in there.
Yeah, and Till did hurt him. And Cannonier has some freaking power, man. Like, that dude is scary.
Yeah, Cannonier used to fight at light heavyweight. Now 85er. Yeah. Undefeated at 85.
Fought Glover Teixeira, I remember. Like, the guy's, no, he's tough. So, and the way he, you know, dismantled Hermanson, who just got that big sub over Kelvin, like, middleweight's really fun right now, so I mean, I'm excited for whatever matchup they make next.
I think Till made it really fun, him making that new addition to the weight class with the jokes and stuff, bringing the personality, and
he's a
big frame, and and a young guy. So I think that adds some fresh life into the division, especially like even like heavyweight, like Gustafsson coming up to heavyweight, still like a breath of fresh air because, he might have retired and came back, but he did lose, but at the same time, he's still...
It adds some interest. Like even when I do like the light heavyweight,
he looked good.
He did look, on the feet. He looked.
Before we jump to him, let's talk the co-main event, the trilogy, Shogun Rua versus Nogueira. I thought it was a good fight, split decision. I feel for Nogueira because I feel like you could have made the argument for why he won the fight.
Yeah,
and for him to get a shutout 3-0 in the trilogy, it's just like heartbreaking.
I mean,
44 years old versus 38.
That was tough, man. That was tough to watch. They looked
old.
They looked.
I mean,
old.
They're legends.
They're legends, absolutely. But like, that was kind of rough to watch, man. I was like, look at my guy. I don't mean this disrespectfully. Look like my grandparents fighting. I'm like, Jesus, man. I don't want to watch this. Like, I don't want to see either of them get hit in the head. Like hurt almost. So it was like, this is a little rough to watch, guys. I saw someone tweet out like, Nogueira lost to him in his 20s, in his 30s, and his 40s now.
Who was
like,
that someone?
I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, man, was it you?
No.
Oh, I was like, damn. I was like, disrespectful, but also true. Like,
nah, not me. My one tweet, I had a couple people saying, like, they're legends. Who are you to say anything about them? I'm like,
what does that mean?
Dude, this has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about their past career. No. I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
44 versus 38. And their physical appearance. Yeah, they're not like Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. And Tito Ortiz is still in pretty phenomenal shape for his age. Chuck is not there anymore.
But they're closer to that than they're closer to their primes. Like, let's be clear. Like,
So that's what I was getting at. Just like,
I mean, their first fight was in 2005. Like, guys, this is 15 years later. Like, this is... I don't know what they were fighting for quite... Like, I mean, at that point, it's like...
favelas.
Whoever's is superior.
Fight like, for their hoods, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, if that rivalry's still a thing. But it didn't... Look, they were super respectful afterwards. I loved how Nogueira was like, you know, this guy was a former Pride champion, a former UFC champion. I'm honored to have, like, just shared the ring with them. I thought that was really awesome. They were both, like, all class all throughout, so...
Yeah. His boxing looked good, too.
Yeah, no, he was still... And he get that deep half again at that last 10 seconds of the fight. I'm like, come on. Little Nogueira still getting, like, that one move off. It's awesome.
And the first... Oh, this is why I tweeted that. I tweeted this, and then people were responding that way. I said, Shogun broke the street rules shooting for a takedown in a trilogy fight. I was like, the streets won't allow it or something like that.
No takedowns, bro.
Yeah, no takedowns. The unwritten rule, no takedowns. And people at got the end mad. Of the first round, I got... It was a funny, it was a joke. Yeah, yeah, it was meant to be funny. It was not to, obviously, people could be so sensitive. Oh, my Lord. I don't really give a shit, because especially when I'm drinking, I'm just like, ah, whatever. Who gives a fuck? But I was just saying it more like, damn, it was getting so good with the action. Yeah, and no. Shot him for the takedown.
You were just hoping that, like, all right. I don't mean, again, it's just like, man, I hope this gets done. Yeah, I was like, look, I don't want to see 3 rounds of this. But yeah. We did, so it is what it is. Like, that's I couldn't be mad at the decision, even. I was just like, man, like.
Even Romero, I know he looks physically good, but the human body, man, it ages. And
of course.
Father Time is undefeated. It gets to a point where you just shouldn't be taking head trauma.
No, I definitely agree with that.
At
I mean,
look, this level.
To be fair about Yoel, he does also seem like superhuman. So he, like, if you compare however old Yoel Romero is versus, I think Nogueira was 44 in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they look like two different species, bro. Like,
they do.
Yeah, Yoel and now.
They just look old.
Absolutely.
You know? And you could tell they've been worn from the scar tissue and the training and obviously the fights. And it's just years and years of competition from jiu-jitsu, cutting weight, fighting, cutting weight. And who knows how many street fights these guys have actually been in. So
the wars,
it's a lot, man.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, it was good just to see them. Like, I hope they're both done. Mauricio.
He said he had like 2 or 3 more fights. I know he did. He got that draw with, was it Paul Craig, who was on this card too?
Yeah.
He said maybe that's like a fight they could do again, which, I mean,
A safe fight for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at the very least, like, it wouldn't be.
Just don't spar.
Yeah, please.
Just
jump in there.
Just jump in there, get in shape, just jump in.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see Nogueira, especially allowing them both to talk after the fight.
Exactly.
Everything Nogueira said, like, you know, he thought he won the fight, he thought he did enough. It was fun back and forth fight, but no, I think Shogun ended it stronger, but Nogueira started stronger. You can make the argument for rounds 1 and 2. Number 3, I definitely would say it was Shogun. For Shogun. But, yeah, then number 2 was that toss-up round. We have Werdum versus Gustavsson. Let me just say, the Werdum that showed up against Gus was not the Werdum that showed up against Olenek. Completely different physique, different mentality.
I mean, this was also his last fight in his UFC contract, so I think in some ways it was kind of like an FU, just like, no, I'm winning this, and I'm like, I'm bouncing. Like, because I thought there was a lot of hype behind Gus moving up to heavyweight. I know a lot of people were excited about that. But Werdum just, it's like, he just keeps shutting people down, right? When everyone gets excited about it. Fedor, Kane... Guy, he's the guy's a legend, man. He gets it done.
He really does. And I saw Jimmy Manuel, man, who tweeted to Gilbert Burns saying, like, I owe you a drink, because he was wrong for the fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, make that too, because I picked Gustavsson as well. I was like,
most
dude,
people
his
did,
hands,
especially after the last fight.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, if he shows up the way he did against Olenek, he's getting tattooed.
Yeah, no.
With the hand
he
speed.
Up. And he kind of was already. Like, he looked... I thought Werdum looked in great shape. He looked better than he had, I don't know, just a long time. I don't know.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked like he prepared.
Exactly.
And the one thing he kept doing, we kept looking down.
Oh, he was going to go.
Looking up. Looking, he telegraphed it so much. It's just like, all right, I know you're trying to set up a look down,
flying
kick up,
knee.
Kick.
Yeah, what's something like that.
You just kept doing it so blatantly, like, hey, I'm looking down here now. Now I'm looking back up top.
But then he started getting pieced up a little bit. I was like, nah, man, we're wrestling. Like, we're like, this is done. And I mean,
Gustavsson had a chance to get out.
He had like 1 or 2 opportunities. I thought, like, he's like, all right, this might be it. But then, like, for example, when Werdum had his back, Gus almost, like, when he stood up, it looked like he almost had that escape, but then he got tripped up at the last second, falls back and pulled into a. Back control and
it's like Scorpion, get over here.
He was like you literally saw as he tripped, I'm like, and that's the fight, like, that's not right there. And even in the armbar, he had like maybe 1 or 2 chances where like maybe he could have stacked something, but once he went to his back and you saw Werdum in that spiderweb position, you knew kind of it's game.
That was pretty much game blouses. Yeah, that was tough, man.
Yeah,
because like you said, Gustavsson was teeing him up on the feet, and I do think when he sprawled, Werdum was so extended. He had the crossface. Gustavsson had the crossface. He had the ankle. I think he had the ankle. He had between the crotch. Almost like a butt drag, all check type of thing. But instead of him just wiggling that back and getting his hips away, he like did some weird thing where it allowed Werdum to pull his arms back in and go up and over his face. And then he kind of came, like, rolled through and came through the back door. And then next you know, Verdum
has your back.
He has your back. He has that leg. And he's tripping you up. And he gets back up. He trips him down. And then I'm just like, the alligator caught his prey.
That's
and
it.
I'm like, damn.
You kind of knew.
Damn.
I mean, when Gus fought Jones, Gus fought DC, you know, he fought off the takedowns really well. So I didn't think it would be that much of a problem. I thought more, if anything, like either one of them hurts the other and then falls into a ground position. But, I mean, Verdum, it wasn't like when DC or Jones fought. He was desperate for that takedown. He was like, I'm getting this takedown. This
yeah.
is it.
Yeah, I do think there was a little bit of a difference in how John shot mm-hmm. for those takedowns in comparison to how Verdum shot.
Definitely.
Verdum got in tight on that single leg
yep.
as opposed to John who's shooting in.
He's willing
DC
to go under.
Shooting in. Yeah, so there's room for them to get these underhooks
yeah.
and bring them back up and shrug off the takedowns as opposed to a Khabib-like single leg where you're
shooting
tight on the
low.
Thigh or even tight right below the kneecap. You want to be above the kneecap on a single leg, but if you could get it tight enough where you can get just a super bear hug grip, you can still pull that guy up and get back up to your feet.
Mm-hmm.
I even tried it against Stamen, but Stamen did a good job of stuffing the head. That's all Gustafsson had to do.
Yeah.
If he stuffed the head and adjusted the lock
yeah.
and got his knee line through, he would have been in a much better situation to defend that takedown. But wrestling's hard, man.
Wrestling's really
People
hard.
Think it's like, hey, just don't let him go. Yes, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. But I feel for Gus. Hopefully
yeah.
he sticks around, man.
I would love to see him stay
yeah.
at heavyweight. Hopefully he brings some life to that division a little bit, too.
Yeah, for real. Because I think there's some fun fights for him there. Like, even if he were to fight a guy like Olenek, I don't think Olenek is doing that to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think styles make fights.
Guys who may even stand up with him, like a Derek Lewis. I'm kind of interested how that would go.
That would be a fun fight.
Like, who
oh,
wins that,
man.
You know?
I don't even know because Derek Lewis is coming out bombing.
Yeah, he might land one of like against like he did Volkov. Even a Volkov fight, actually. Both stand-up guys. Like, these
oh.
are...
That's a good one.
These are a lot of good... Come on. Give me the money for this. This is an easy matchmaking
that's
job.
That's a good one right there. I like that one. On the next fight, Carla Esparza versus Marina Rodriguez. Good fight. Split decision
yeah.
for Carla. I thought that was the best Carla Esparza has ever looked on a technical level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just so it's not sounding sexist, I just think the female divisions, and I think this is pretty common knowledge, you look down the divisions... It's not stacked. You look at the featherweight division of the females.
Doesn't exist.
There's like five people there, if that. They're like forcing people from 35 to come
yeah,
up
exactly.
to make a 45-pound division. So with that being said, you look at these divisions. She's fighting at strawweight, and you can see how much smaller she was in comparison to Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Got teed up. Got busted up really early. Pretty much fighting with one eye. Kind of like reminding me of Felder versus Dan Hooker instead.
Yeah.
Like, Felder's obviously not a grappler, so it's all stand-up affair. But Carla pushing through the fire and getting the fight to the ground, landing some ground and pound. But she was mixing it up to the point where she would shoot, not get the takedown, and she
That's
was coming
right.
up with strikes.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Carla Esparza that we've seen before. If she was very all the way in or very like all the way out where there's no action. And
mm-hmm.
it's just like you're watching the fight. And for me, it makes it a little more difficult. Obviously, they're not men, so
yeah.
I don't expect them to come out there with the testosterone that we have and stuff like that. So you got to be cognizant of that. But at the same time, in terms of the technical standpoint, and I know I'm probably going to get butchered on this, and people are probably going to think,
oh, no, I love
he's
it.
He's shitting on
oh,
the
this
female
is fantastic.
Fighters. Not shit on the female fighters. I'm just calling it what it is.
No, 100%, though. That's fair.
The tactical level is just not all the way there. There's not that many Amanda Nunes's. There's not that many...
Cyborgs.
I don't even say Cyborg, Holly Holm... Zhang Weili,
yeah, Joanna, like, Valentina, like those are the best of the elite. Yeah, and you just see how they fight against the rest of the competition. Like, it's just different.
The disparity,
yeah,
in the levels,
the gap is huge.
It's
and then everyone else they fight, you know, it's competitive, but again, that gap is pretty significant, I would say.
And it's competitive, but it does not ever look like the
not
elites
like,
when they fight each
100%.
Other. 100%. Valentina versus Joanna. Valentina versus Amanda Nunes. Two different weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
It does not look anywhere
no.
close to the other females that are fighting each other. It just looks like woman versus like their daughter. You know,
yeah,
it's just a strange.
No, I 100% agree.
I don't know the right words to put it in.
Well,
it's tough to make it not sound like you're being a dick.
Okay,
but
well,
I'm just saying, there's just not enough talent, and maybe they're just not. I don't want to say they're not talented enough, but the divisions are just shallow where. Men, all of us being at this same size, not 35, obviously, 55, 70, the talent pools are deep.
Much, yeah, much more.
And the competition and the skill level are all like neck and neck, where That is just like, well, man.
A lot of the men had like a competitive background too, and like, you know, wrestling, like other combat sports beforehand. Like, it's not the same. Typically, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm in the female divisions. Like
how many of them coming from a boxing background or a wrestling background?
And that's why a girl like Valentina, who has been competing for her, like, you know, I think she was doing judo or something beforehand. For her whole life, like, has this significant gap. And
Even Ronda, absolutely.
I just don't think it's. I think it's absolutely fair to say, you're calling it as you see it, and that's, I think, completely accurate. Like, the women's divisions seem kind of a few years behind the men's division, and that's fair. Like, they didn't start till years after the men's divisions too, so that's why a girl like Ronda Rousey could exist, like a person. Yeah. And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but like someone like Hoyce Gracie could exist, because like these girls just weren't at her level competitively, athletically, technically especially at that time. And you know, after a while they do start to, you know, as long as they continue to grow, there will be, like, I think, more improved fighters. And even a girl like Carla Esparza, who keeps improving herself, like, you know, we saw her record after the fight. I remember saying, like, I had no idea she had fought that much.
Yeah.
In the UFC. So, you know, just seeing her technical growth is pretty awesome. And you would hope that makes his other fighters in the female divisions have to grow too. Rodriguez fought.
She fought very tough.
She looked good. The only thing, you know, those takedowns, she just, you know, didn't really have an answer for. And that's on her now to be able to find an answer to that, you know? Like, if she fights a girl like Tatiana Suarez, who kind of threw Carla Esparza around, like, what's her plan then, you know? So you have to be ready for these.
That was bad.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm going back to saying. Like, I just think that was the best she has ever looked from a technical standpoint. Mixing it all together, putting all the striking with the wrestling in together, using the footwork, and not sitting so far out of the pocket where there's nothing happening, where it's like you're trying to shoot from wazoo and expecting like some miracle to happen. Yeah. Like the person is that bad where you could take them down. And if you get taken down when someone shoots from that far, you deserve it. But
yeah, I mean, but early in her career, I'm sure like a lot of the people she fought did go down. So when she did fight the elites like Joanna, even
you realize not, real quick.
Oh man!
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I have to learn to fight. You know, so it is different. I would say.
And you, yeah, man. And it's like you realize how much it sucks when you're being the nail and not the hammer, and that's the most difficult part. And I think Rodriguez is gonna come back tough. She was killing it, landing some phenomenal strikes. Split decision. I think that was the right call. I could see why that could have went either way. I just think for Carla Esparza, someone that I've been watching for pretty much the beginning of her UFC career in the Tough House. I think that was the best she's ever looked. Even like a Thug Rose, you know. You want to compete with girls like that, man. You have to be able to mix it all together, like those other females, to be the elite of the elite. And eventually they're going to get there. They're going to go through these growing pains right now.
Yeah.
And it sucks to say it because I don't want to seem like I'm shitting on the girls, but the truth is the truth.
Like, I mean, they're the elite of the division, but like the elite of the division there is different than the elite of the division at 155. I think it's different. It's absolutely fair to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. But congrats to her. Good win. And the next one we got Paul Craig, the Bear Drew against Antigulov. Man, this one was for the streets. Submission in the first round, pretty much streets. 2 minutes in, 2 minutes left of the first round. And
because the hat thing.
He brimmed him. Bro. If we're at the face-offs, and I got my fitted cap on, and I'm doing a face-off, and you're getting close to me, and I'm getting close to you. Not you just got close to me. I'm standing my ground. But you come into my personal space with your brim cap, and you do one of these, and you extend the neck? Nah, the streets is watching. It has to go. It cannot go unpunished. It has to go down.
I mean, it didn't go unpunished. Like, he made him tap. That's it. That's game, man.
He was getting hammered down there, though, from the triangle position. Was getting hammered, like, boom. I was like, oh, he's about to knock him out in a triangle choke.
Yeah.
But
that's how Paul Craig fights, though, you know? He gets the job done.
I don't understand how these guys don't realize that's, like, his only move. Almost certainly his only move. I'm pretty sure he's good at all the stuff.
Yeah, but it's light heavyweight.
He catches everyone with it.
He got some good guys with it. That's hilarious.
Not everyone, but yeah. Tough dude, good fight. And like you were saying, maybe that rematch with him and Shogun could happen. And I think that maybe that could be a good farewell swan song for Shogun.
Yeah.
Swan song, isn't that like when someone dies?
I don't know. But
maybe that'd just be his going away song. Let me not say swan song because it sounds bad. The next one, Oliveira versus Peter Sabata. Man, to talk about every foul in the book.
Bro, he can...
I don't get it. How do refs not talk to him before the fights? How do... If you're my opponent,
said this. No.
I'm saying this to the ref.
This guy's a cheating bastard. Watch out. Like, I would 100%... We said it because we were watching the fights in the car on the way back from Nino's. And the instant I saw Oliveira come out, I was like, yeah, like, he's very fun to watch. But don't forget, this man is a dirty fighter. Like, this dude, he finds a way to cheat in every fight. And this one...
Unintentionally, every time.
Unintentionally. He gets one of every... He literally got almost one of every foul in this one. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's the low blow.
The double eye poke. How often do you see a Three Stooges double eye poke like that? Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
It was bad. At that point, you're fighting a losing battle. I remember I tweeted something about it, and then someone was like, stop snitching. I'm like, stop snitching? Where? How? He's being fouled.
He does this every fight, though. Like, this is what we said, too. Like,
right hand was just waiting.
In that karate stance, like, I'm an uppercut or I'm going to punch you with the... That was crazy.
Like this. Literally like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like, all right. You're either about to get blinded or deaded. So that was... Yeah. It's like every Jon Jones fight. He gets an eye poke. Like, no. Like,
almost every fight.
But, like, if the refs in the back were just like, John, real quick, if you eye poke him once, I'm taking a point. Like, you know, you do have a
responsibility for your weapons.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you're known for this at this point. Like, there should be, like, for some fight, I know it's a fine line, but, like, come on, there's, like, some... Oliveira cheats in every fight. Again, if I'm the ref, I'm like, Oliveira, you've been known to pull some dirty bullshit tactics. If you pull any of them, I'm gonna make it clear and just take a point. Boom, all of a sudden these dirty tactics aren't being done for some reason. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's like, wow, now I know how to fight legally. Myself.
Yeah. Oh, now I can control my hand. Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah, it's kind of silly, and I think it's a little unfair for people to say, like, I understand you're supposed to take the point after the second infraction of the same foul.
Which is crazy.
A foul is a foul. I think a physical foul versus a foul against grabbing the cage or grabbing the glove should be deemed differently. Like, if I knee you in the head illegally,
yeah,
I think that counts as... That's a pretty significant foul.
No, I 100% agree.
Poke you in the eye, that distorts your vision.
That can alter the fight. Like,
that changes. And then what happened to Sabata? He gets dropped right after he gets eye poked. I'm like, dude,
wow.
There's no way anyone can tell me there's no correlation to that.
That's crazy.
Guy just got poked in the eye. Your depth of vision, your depth of field, it's changed. And
we talked about this, like, at this point, if I'm a fighter, why wouldn't I, like, go out, like, poke him in the eyes and kick him in the groin immediately? You apparently get one of each.
Just,
like,
swipe. Just, yeah, fucking
just
swipe.
As quick as you can. Just be like, all right, now that I got one of everything, let's start the fight. Like, honestly, like, at this point, what's the deterrent to this, you know? Yeah, like,
why not fucking fish hook him?
Yeah,
like, go out and fish hook him too.
It's really crazy. Even the fence grab, screw it. Like,
well, pull his lip. Just, you pull his lip, grab his face and pull his lip, pull his beard.
That's,
like,
the thing, though.
What,
like,
are you talking about?
If, like, no referee, or if there's going to be no repercussions, or, like, no athletic commission is going to look into any of this stuff, then, like, there is no deterrent for dirty fighters. Like, I don't want to say dirty fighters, but, like, yeah, dirty fighters to, like, not do this, you know? Like,
yeah.
Every fighter is good, like, not everyone, but, again, they can do this if they choose to, which is pretty messed up, I'd say.
Yeah, I see. And that's what I was saying before. It's like, well, there's nothing stopping me from not doing it, because if I'm going to just get a couple of hard warnings, a couple, then it's like, well, I would be doing myself a disservice by not doing it.
Right? Like, that's how it feels.
The fans looking at me just saying I'm a dirty fighter.
I guess you're on conscience, but
even
then, like,
if you're not cheating, you're not
trying.
They say,
right?
You're not trying.
Whatever, yeah.
That's,
like,
the same.
That's how it almost feels, right? Like,
yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know what you do about that, other than if you see him pawing out like this, you say something right in the beginning, like, if you poke him,
I'm taking a point.
100%. Close your fingers.
1000% agree with that.
Now there's no, like, you're not playing that game anymore. It's if you're gonna do the whatever, I don't even know what you call it, the Frankenstein fingers or the spirit fingers. Now you have to do it like this, and you have to be a little bit more cognizant. Put your shield up. Put your guard up. Nate Diaz style. Shit, what are we talking about?
Yeah, fight. No,
yeah,
really.
What is this? This is not defense.
No.
They don't teach me this in my gym.
Ah, it's Krav Maga. Just double.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, no, it's... I can't stand it. And again, there are fighters specifically known for things like this. Like, again,
Oliver was getting roasted on that thread that I tweeted.
Bro.
Roasted.
Every fight, he does something. Like, he almost finds new ways to cheat where I'm just like, bro.
He's top five. Someone say he's top five.
Top five.
I was like, oh my God.
That's definitely. Yeah, no, it's actually crazy. But it is what it is. Until the athletic commission's arrests do something, I guess cheat, whatever.
We're like congratulating him at the same time, roasting him at the same time. No, it's like, yeah, you won, but. Dude.
Bro, you suck. No, I'm kidding. But like, come on. Dude, what was that?
Chill
like,
out with that shit,
for
man.
For real.
I'm just glad I don't have to fight anyone like that. And if I do, man, I don't care what you want to call it. Snitching, whatever. You're scared. I don't give a fuck. My eye vision, I need to see. My nuts, I need those for kids.
Yeah, for life.
And I need to be able to piss without pissing blood.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So it'd be nice to not get kicked in the nuts.
You know what I really liked about the John Jones Dominic Reyes fight is when John did start like having his fingers. Dom Reyes literally punched
his fist.
I was like, yo, that's the move right there. Just
fucking break them shits.
100%.
Man.
Like, okay, you want to play that? Like,
boom, your whole little ligament in here gets snapped, dislocate the
finger. I love it. I was like, man, never once thought of that. I thought that would be brilliant, honestly. Like, so at this point, if someone's gonna cheat, make them pay for it, I guess.
Yeah. It's just literally a whole session on just kind of cheating roasting Oliver. This next one was fun. Chimaev versus Reese McKee. first round submission, coming off of a 10-day turnaround.
Yeah. Dude,
first,
this guy's
his debut was at 85, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. Dude, this, I guess whatever whatever you want to call it, the it factor, I guess he has it, because this guy just became a star pretty quickly, like so over 10 days.
I saw he was born in Russia, but it said Chechnya. I checked on Typology. Okay. I don't know how accurate that is. I checked on Typology.
He's from Chechnya?
It said Chechnya, Russia, now living in Sweden.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Money Making Mitch and I were watching the fights today from last week where he fought the other guy, John Phillips, from Wales. And we counted like 60 unanswered strikes before the ref said, okay, I think maybe you might have had enough.
Maybe it's done.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, this one too.
Just
like,
maybe it's done.
Come on. Like,
yeah, he pounded this guy too, man. It was not fun to watch. And I heard that guy was a 55er who came up to 70 and now might have to contemplate going back down if he's going to have to fight guys like that. I'm
like, absolutely.
To be fair, there's not a lot of guys like Chimaev. There's not.
I mean, I'd love to see how he does against like some of the top 15. Like that. After that, like that was a dude.
He called out Maya.
He called out Maya. I pay to see that fight.
Respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. And, I saw he was like talking crap to like McGregor, and I did see McGregor respond. You know, Dylan Danis, all these guys. They're like,
he's
building some traction really quickly. So
Brother. At the post fight speech, interview, brother, I can fight again 1 hour. 1 hour.
I believe
I fight
him.
All of them. Oh, 85, no. 170 kilos. No, no.
Tonight.
Problem.
No, he was
tonight.
Ready. I love it. Again, he has the right act. He does seem to have that star factor, man. So I can't wait to see where he goes.
Style, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just came out, threw a heavy punch. Right in, single leg.
Doesn't
hurt. Defended the takedown for 10 seconds. I was like, all right, he's doing good. Until he wasn't.
Doesn't hurt that he looks like Khabib, by the way. And it's not, you know, it doesn't. I mean, look, he has that style.
He's a fun fighter, man.
Definitely.
He fights Maya. He wins.
Because he's not going to get taken down and beat him up on the feet?
Well, no, I'm just saying he wins, then he's got to be on the door for a title shot.
Yeah, then he's one or two fights away, which is crazy. Like,
it's insane.
Again, this is we haven't really seen him fight anyone, so again, it is not fair to like just throw him in there like that. You know,
I'm saying he's that good.
Wow,
I'm saying he's that good.
Okay,
his control, his top pressure.
Who did he fight
head
last week?
Over head, knowing exactly what the positioning is. Every time they move, he slides that knee on belly into mount.
Okay, no, that
perfect transition.
What he does technically is awesome. No, I can't disagree with that. Even just the control he has is awesome. Like his kicks into the takedowns. But we got to see him do it against quality competition. That's all I'm saying. Like we need to see him against a top 15. Amaya would be awesome because that's even like there's a grappling. You just have to worry about the grappling.
They can't give him Maya right
now. Yeah, that's crazy though, right?
They give him Maya. He's 26 years
there's
old.
There's a lot of good guys though.
Maya's
Rocco
like 42,
Martin,
43.
Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal's kind
of
tough.
Good luck getting this guy a next opponent in the top 15.
Yeah,
after if I'm any of these guys,
they don't want.
No.
Yeah, that's
straight up. I don't care what you guys say. No.
It's not the same technically, but it's kind of like the Johnny Walker effect almost, where this guy came out of nowhere. And like Johnny Walker, not technically, I know I agree, but
Johnny Walker was kind of like that guy, Michael Pereira, just balls to walls, and that was really it.
Well, I'm saying, if you are someone in the top 15 that could use a win, I think having a name like this, especially like a young Chimaev, I think potentially could be something in the long run would be good. You know, that
good for who? The opponent of Chimaev?
Yeah.
Why would who would want to do that to themselves? Name one guy in the top 15 who would want to do that.
I think Anthony Rocco Mart, really tough guy, hard to take down. I think he
lost to Maya.
Well, no, he lost to Maya, and he lost his last one pretty close. But again, was it?
I forgot the guy he fought. I was
Neil
there.
Magny.
We were there.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, Magny.
He's coming off a loss. Like again, like
Chimaev versus Magny.
Chimaev, that's a good fight.
He's gonna do exactly what Damian Maya did to Magny.
I mean, who knows, man? I think it's very possible, but
dude, this kid is good.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. He's awesome, but again, I want to see him do it to
him. Yeah, of course.
These guys are proven. Like,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I think it's unfair to be like Neil Magny, who's he beating? Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh, no, of course. I'm not disrespecting these
Hector
guys at
all. Lombard. Like these are long time wins that again like age well. I think if you have a win against Chimaev, especially now, it's better than later.
It's like beating Canelo when Mayweather did instead of trying to
beat
Canelo.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I think it would make a lot of sense to try to get this dub now before he gets even better.
Yeah, it's like get him now while you can, while he's still
young,
growing.
Yeah,
because he's only 7 and 8, and, you know, now.
And two fights into his UFC career again. Yeah. So against, I don't know. Really, like, not disrespectfully, I just don't know who he just beat.
The UFC is going to bring him up slow, though. I think if they're smart,
he's got star potential all over him. Like they could do what they did with Sugar Sean, kind of build him up slow, give him the very good matchups. But again, it's up to how he wants to do his career too. So I would love to see him against the Neil Magny, top 10, top 15 guy, because he absolutely could do that to them too, which would be great for him, man. I think that'd be awesome.
I don't know how he's gonna look with that adversity in terms of like the striking, the pressure from Neil Magny coming back.
He's been there three rounds, hard.
Ponzinibbio, mm-hmm. or even like a Gilbert Burns who can get back up, not get handcuffed like that. 2-on-1 wrist trapped.
Kamaru Usman.
It's a different fight.
Leon Edwards.
Like, I'm not saying he beats these guys, but I'm saying he's 26 years old.
Absolutely.
And what he's doing to guys right now is nothing short of spectacular, especially in comparison to the other guys' careers who are at the top of the division already.
No, I agree.
Those other guys did not do what he's doing to guys in his UFC debut at 185 and then coming down to his right weight class at 170 and still decimating competition.
No, I think you're right.
I think it shows what this guy's ceiling could potentially be if there is a ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, if he can get some type of striking like Khabib does, and he's cognizant on the feet.
Yeah,
dude, that's a scary man for everybody.
Well, I've seen some like old fights of his, dude. I think his striking's competent. Like, you know, it's not like spectacular, but I thought he kind of did what you started doing, like when you started your UFC career, like kicks and then forces them to strike into those takedowns. And look, it is tricky. So
I'm not saying I got the perfect game plan. I'm just saying sometimes
the game plan's
perfected.
Really good control too. So.
Nah, he's a good dude. I'm excited to see what his future holds, and hopefully we get to see more of him because it seems like he wants to be very, very active.
Yeah.
His star power went through the roof just like that. Dana White hyping him up, the UFC hyping him up, ESPN, all these channels blowing him up, and rightly so, in my opinion. The next one, we got Francisco Trinaldo versus Jai Herbert.
Ooh, controversial.
Third round. This was the one with Herb Dean. We heard the reasoning from Herb Dean saying that he was somewhat responsive and put his hands up in between himself and the opponent. I don't know if I saw that.
Look,
I saw a man who was deaded on the ground.
Oh, that dude was done. What, like, the way he went down was pretty clear. I understand what Herb Dean is doing, because, like, if you listen to what he said, we listened to it right before the show, just to, like, because the first time I tried to listen to it, I, like, gave up 30 seconds in. Because he said something like, that was absolutely not a late stoppage. I'm like, all right, so he's going to lie to me. Like, that's what I'm hearing right now. Like, it just sounded like a guy trying to cover his own ass and roast Dan Hardy for some reason and try to put it on him. Like, oh, what Dan Hardy did was dangerous. I'll explain how this wasn't the late stoppage later. Hasn't explained it to, like, from what I've seen, he hasn't explained it yet. So I don't know how it's not a late stoppage. The guy was clearly out. If he said something like, oh, look, from my angle, it looked like he was covering and defending. Clearly I was wrong. Respect, you know, he could. I thought it would have been just that easy and been like, all right, look, he made a little error. It sucks, but it happens. But to try to throw the blame onto someone else, like, oh, this guy's a professional, you know, he shouldn't be telling to stop the fight. Like, What was more dangerous? Did him you, yelling not to stop to stop the fight, or you letting this dead man get punched in the... I don't understand what the argument was.
He said... He asked the doctor, did you say stop the fight? No. He asked the cornerman, did you say stop the fight? No. And then he went back to saying pretty much, you know, the other person doing it creates a dangerous situation. I'm like, I think the situation was pretty dangerous before it, before that.
I absolutely agree. I mean, it literally got... Trinaldo didn't even want to hit him. Like, he looked at him like, yo, so you're going to allow this, huh?
Yeah.
Gave him like... I thought my phone, because we were watching it again in the car, I thought my phone was just lagging. Because I was like, why is this dude frozen? And I was just like, what? Oh, no. Like, Herb. Like, because everyone was just kind of looking at each other like, all right, here we go. And then just, he got only like, he got a few strikes in, like three or four, but it wasn't.
No, after, he only hit him once after that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So it wasn't anything.
But like, it was a blast.
It wasn't like, and it wasn't necessary.
He didn't need to take it. It's like when I was out, you could have said I put my hands up to defend me and my opponent, which... Marlon saw me die.
Yeah.
And he was like,
well, that's... Well,
I think the fight's over.
He stopped, yeah. I mean, it was kind of the same with... look. Herb Dean is just... Come on, man. Like, let's just be honest about it. Like,
punch him in the stomach. What if guys just say, you know what? If you're dead and the ref's not jumping in on time, maybe I just punch you in the gut instead of like...
Oh, that's just rude, though.
Breaking your jaw.
I guess, yeah.
And your nose.
Well, it's like when...
your orbital bone.
When Masvidal knocked out Askren, like... he didn't need to do those strikes, but
it was super necessary. He said,
yeah, okay,
but I didn't say that. He said it was super
necessary. The ref jumped in, like, oh, this man's dead. Like, I gotta stop this guy from still assaulting him. Like, I don't understand what Herb was looking for there. Like, he was like, okay, this guy might come back to life. Like, what? I don't understand.
He got there like 4 seconds, almost 4 seconds late.
We
rewinded it to count how long it took him to get over there.
And again, that was,
and then he just watched, like, I'm like, stop the fight. He's done.
There was an earlier stoppage as well. Like, the guy covered up. I think it was Herb Dean, right? The one where he's covering up. And it was like what Chael Sonnen was saying. Like, he did the cover up. Like, ref, it's time to...
Chael Sonnen said, so we watched the clip. It was like, the universal sign to ref step in and save me is when you turtle up. And then when the ref jumps in to stop the fight, you get up and you make the confused look like, what? Like, what happened so that you can save face and you don't look like...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like a punk.
Yeah, or,
you know,
so like, I didn't give up. Like, I mean...
Knowing that, you know, you just want to gracefully bow out.
Yeah, yeah. It was like when people freaked out about Stephen A. Smith. He was like, yeah, Stephen A. Smith has no idea what he's talking about. Like, what do you mean? Like, anyone watching that could have been like, Donald Cerrone just didn't... Like, he didn't show up. He didn't want to be in there. He didn't say anything technically. Like, he didn't be like, oh, this is what Cerrone should have done. He said... what I think anyone could have seen, like, wow, this guy really wasn't really in this. And he just covered up and was like, all right, time to get my check and go home. It is what it is. And that was kind of... But Herb Dean was like, all right, let's let this guy take a couple strikes. I don't know, man. The fact that he tried to defend himself was a little egregious, in my opinion. That's why I think... Like, my favorite ref is Jason Herzog. Like, I can't even remember the last time Jason Herzog's had an issue. But the reason he's my favorite ref is because... I don't know when he's reffing. He barely becomes a part. He doesn't become a part of the narrative. It's like the fight's the fight, and he's just like in the background.
Yeah.
Well, it's become annoying to me because Herb Dean's freaking doing podcasts, like doing autographs and stuff. It's like, dude, you're a referee. Like, you shouldn't be in the public spot. Like, you shouldn't. Your ego shouldn't be on the line at all about this. So
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
It becomes more about them. I don't know if they do it intentionally just somehow they just got here.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now it's almost too late. You created a monster at this point.
That's how it feels like. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. I'm like, I looked on their Instagram. Like, these guys have a huge following.
It's crazy.
For...
as a referee. Like,
and like, over the guys that actually go in there and do it. How is that even possible? I know you could say, oh, they've been doing it for years. I'm like, yes, but...
what are they doing?
So.
Exactly. No, it really is crazy. Like, that. Like, the best referees, in my opinion, are the ones that don't...
Chris Tyone.
Yeah,
he was my ref. And I'm like, dude, this guy's actually really good. The guy with the long beard.
Yeah.
Really good.
How often do they become a part of the storyline? Like, that's what's annoying. Like, Herb Dean, in my opinion, has been in part of the storyline to the Ben Askren, Robbie Lawler, which, again, he apologized for right after the fight and then goes on to Rogan and says, oh, no, here's how I was actually correct. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? And then I saw the...
He went on Rogan and said he was correct?
Yeah. He went back and was like, okay, so if you see here, and it was like breaking down how... He felt like...
I'm guessing they were watching the fight.
I think he had the fight on at least, or like, it was at least explaining the situation to him, but it was still...
Nah, fuck that.
Absolutely, that was super unnecessary. Like, that was ridiculous.
Fuck all that noise.
It was the same, they posted the video of the Joe Lauzon stoppage with Takanori Gomi, where Joe Lauzon had to call his own fight. And even then, like, Gomi gets up, is dazed, and then Herb Dean has to be like, okay, never mind, yeah, fight's over. It's like, what are we looking for here? It's really gotten to the point where,
yeah,
to call him the gold standard is just kind of disrespectful to the other referees, in my opinion.
Yeah, I never once said that. I never once said Herb. And I like Herb Dean. He seems like a good dude.
Seems like a cool guy.
Octagon. And I'm not even saying, like, inside the octagon. I'm saying outside the octagon, he seems like a good dude. But I'm not saying he's the best ref in the game.
Well, like, that's, you just got to call it like you see it. And
you call it.
Call it.
Call it.
That's it.
Come on, you got this. You're a world champion. Call it. I don't got it.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. You know what I did like? Mark Goddard, the schmo asked him about the whole thing with Kobe Covington and that stoppage. And I liked his response. And he's like, I could have gone public and responded like Herb Dean did.
Yeah.
He was like, but I chose not to. He was like, I feel like, pretty much saying like he feels like it's his job not to do that.
Absolutely.
And I respected the hell out of it. I was like, wow, I actually like this guy now. Like, before, I didn't really like him. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like he, there was something about him. I just felt like when I've talked to him, he just seemed like, or heard him talk to other mm-hmm. people, it just seemed like he was like, almost like John McCarthy, like an alpha.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, but dude, I get it. You're a big dude. Like, you don't got to pump your chest. I'm not saying he was doing that intentionally. I'm not saying that's what his intentions were or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, when I've talked to him, that was the vibe I got from him. It was like, mm-hmm. I don't know, he just doesn't seem like my kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And then after the Kobe stoppage, I was like, I wasn't too happy about it. I'm not saying he wasn't on his way out, but at the same time, I felt in other situations, the fights have gone on, and maybe because there was, like, back and forth or something that he just let, I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. I can't make conspiracies here or whatever, but I felt like that cleared the air and everything he said. So if you guys haven't heard that, definitely check that out. He did a little bit with the schmo, and I thought that was really, really good. So it was definitely a cool little insight to see inside the mind of Mark Goddard on that and why he made that decision. And it made a ton of sense. So I respected the hell out of it. So let's not talk about refs anymore. But there was a ton of good fights, man. Other than that, let's just wrap up. Just give a couple shout-outs to some of these guys and their performances. Nathaniel Wood looked great against John Castaneda. Southpaw versus Orthodox, yeah. Sexy Mexi came in, brought it UFC debut against. And had a good fight. It was landing some good stuff, but Wood did what he had to do and won the decision 30-27. Emiv had some trouble in the early beginning with Stoles. Came back, battled back hard, and started landing that right hand over and over. He got taken down, caught a monster knee at the end of that first round, and then Stoles just stalled on him. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, damn, this fight's pretty much going to pick up right where it left off. And then for some reason, his output went super low, and Amiv ran away with the fight.
Wow.
Kainzid, she looked good against Betch Carrera. They had a pretty back-and-forth fight. Carrera landed one bomb of a left hand that really swollen up the right eye of Penny. But that was a good fight, man. It was a good fight, fun fight for both the females.
I saw about that fight was the 10-second.
Oh, clapped her for turning around. Like, dude,
why
you stop fighting when the ref says to stop fighting? Let the ref intervene.
Why does every Betch Koya fight have to be like something? Like, there's crazy. A level of comedy to it. Like, I don't want to disrespect her like that, but like, there's like almost like it's like a there's a video of her punching herself in the face. Like, oh my, there's just come on, Betch, please. The dance.
There was one where she did like.
Goodness.
She's a character.
Definitely.
I like her just because of that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know she was 38.
Oh, wow. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, 38. They said she was 38 on the tail of the tape.
That's crazy.
The next one, Boja came back, knocked out Pessoa. I think that was the one where the ref jumped in late.
That might have been with Herb. I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the one where Herb jumped in late. It wasn't that late, to be honest. But I know Dan Hardy was jumping up saying that's the second time. Yeah. And screaming, stood up. He had like the Conor McGregor stance when he's watching Jose Aldo fight. I think it was either Frankie Edgar or somebody.
I think it was that one.
But he stood in there like a lion.
Like Gladiator.
It's like, that's the second time this night. But whatever. I don't know. I saw some people getting mad at Dan Hardy for like crossing the line. But at the same time, like as a fighter, former fighter, and commentator who understands what goes into this and they still practice sport, it's kind of hard to sit there and just watch
that. Be silent about that.
And not, John Gooden, I respect the hell out of him for trying to like keep the show going along.
De-escalate
like,
the situation.
And the fight's over, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm like, Hardy's just like, no, no. And the next one that was really good was Evloev. He used to fight at 35, up at 45 now, still doing pretty well, undefeated, 13-0, took out Mike Grundy. Grundy almost put him out in the
kind of dark stroke
in the first round. Somehow, Evloev looked like he was going to sleep. He starts using his other foot and starts kicking
out. He pried out.
No, and I thought he was done. I was like, yo, he's going to go to nap right here.
Oh, that was a fun scrap.
And somehow, someway, he gets out.
Yeah, there were a couple submission attempts in that fight that were, they looked pretty close.
Just the first round, though.
That's fair.
But outside of that, Evloev pretty much all day. His striking looked crisp. Everything was shooting from his hip. Like, everything was turning over, and there's no flaring of the elbows. It was like he was jabbing, he was moving, super light. His feet, his footwork, his stutter steps, jab, the crosses, the hooks. And he kept getting taken down, but he was doing all these Granby rolls, these Granby roll kips. Me and Money Mitch was watching that one today, too. And he did some good stuff. I didn't know they were both high-level wrestlers like that. I know Evloev was a good wrestler, but he looked like a seasoned striker. Look good. Like, this is a guy I think everyone should definitely
keep an eye out for.
Look out for. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got the other guy, Tom Aspinoli, the other heavyweight.
Mm-hmm. Quick knockout,
45 seconds in. And Jesse Ronson knocks out Nicholas Dalby. Ah, he just caught him coming right in, right on the button.
I'm a fan of Dalby, too. He had that fight with Darren Till a while back, and he was in the, what was it, Cage Warriors?
Cage Warriors.
Yeah, so now he's a fun fighter, but that's tough, man. Tough to, was this his first fight back in the UFC? Or?
No, I think his second or third. Okay. It's just, I think for him, he tends to get, he has very good offensive attacks, but I think he leaves his head in the center line way too much and leaves him exposed for counters, and he ends up getting caught a lot.
Kind of like, well, like Till too, a little bit.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm going to say is that almost like that shooto box style where they just come forward and then their head's always right there. Like, if I just close my eyes, wing my punch, I know where your head is. Like,
yeah.
I don't even have to, like, guess. Like, I could hella kill under that shit.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Let's, keep this under an hour. Definitely, guys, if you guys like the content, just drop a like button. Hit that. Or what did I say? Destroy that like button. Destroy the like button.
Oh, my God. Like, subscribe.
All that good stuff.
Notification bell. You know.
Ding. It helps with the YouTube algorithm so that it can come up on the suggested recommended list for other viewers. For some reason, I don't know how this algorithm stuff works. If you guys understand it, hit me up because I can use a little help.
That's fine.
We're going to head out to training in a little bit. I'm sore as hell. I don't know how much I'm actually going to do. I might just pretend and just stretch for like a very long time. And then when practice is over, I'm like, all right, so you guys ready?
But I'm broken right now.
Yeah, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
Really just my neck. It's really just my neck.
No, it's my body, like everything.
So we're gonna have a good wrestling practice today. Do some situations for the guys that got fights coming up. And get these guys ready because it's going to be a very, very busy August. We got Chris Weidman August 8th. We have Mirab Dvashvili August 15th against John Dodson. Chris Weidman's fighting Omari Akhmedov. Mirab is fighting John Dodson. Both guys ranked. And Mizuki Inoue, she's fighting Amanda Lemos August 22nd. And hopefully we can have the steamroller. He's no longer the cream roller. He's finally the steamroller fighting maybe August 29th.
That's what he's hoping for, yeah.
That's what he's hoping for.
And
so we'll see.
We got a couple other pros, Dennis and Charlie. He's got
one. Charlie's fighting August 7th.
I believe, yeah. For
and Mohegan Sun.
Yep, Mohegan Sun. So short notice opportunity for him. You know, awesome opportunity. You know, awesome stage, honestly.
Yeah.
I was there before for Pumi's
fight. You're cornering for that one.
Yeah. I was there for Pumi's fight.
Look at you. Look at this guy, Steve. Brand new man. Just got a headband, got into quarantine, doesn't know how to act anymore.
Oh, my God.
He wins one UFC fight in a corner and just doesn't know how to act anymore.
This guy's out of his mind. He's been out of control since the fight, people.
It's lies. Lies.
Out of control.
But all right, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, if you like my shit, subscribe to that shit and spin it back, baby.
And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye bye.